And as we remember Nelson Mandela, we turn now to the history that shaped the former South African president. In 2004, we broadcast a series of documentaries about Mandela. We're going to hear the first installment from that series, titled Mandela, An Audio History, by producers Joe Richman and Sue Johnson of Radio Diaries. It's told through the voices of Mandela, those who fought alongside him, and those who fought against him. Nelson Mandela was one of thousands of black South Africans who flocked to Johannesburg in the 1940s in search of work. By 1948, he was a young lawyer and activist when a new political party came into power with a new idea, the separation of whites and blacks. It was the birth of apartheid.
I remember when I arrived in Johannesburg in the early 40s, the fear, you know, of the power of the white man inhibited us a great deal, and the government was becoming very tough.
News from Government House Pretoria, where South Africa's newly elected Prime Minister, Dr. Malan, was sworn in at the beginning of a new chapter in South Africa's history.
I remember I came out of Park Station that morning and bought a newspaper and learned that the National Party had won. And Comrade Oliver Tambo said, "Well, I like this, because we now know that we have an enemy in power. And I think that we're going to have a better opportunity of mobilizing our people." So when they came into power, it became clear that we were going to be put under a very severe test.
In these circumstances, the government has decided on the following measures. A prohibition on meetings has been...
And immediately after 1948, the apartheid government announced that it was introducing a new series of laws.
The Group Areas Act. There was an Immorality Act so that you couldn't have sexual relations across the colour line. Race classification, which laid down for all time your colour and your category. White, coloured, Indian or black.
The coloured man must always carry these passes.
Photographs are taken at the offices of the Department of Native Affairs. Daily, a large number turns up here for reference books. Each book contains the photograph of the owner, his name, race, and particulars of employment.
They use this crude method of putting a pencil through your hair. If the pencil sticks, then you are black or African. If it falls off, you've got a chance of being classified colored.
Naturally, the officials who are employed here must have a thorough knowledge of Bantu customs and languages.
Each time you left your home, you had to make sure that you have a little book in your pocket. And if you didn't have that piece of paper, some ignorant, stupid youngster in the police force could stop you and demand that you identify yourself. If you couldn't, they locked you up. The feeling among the vast majority of the people was that this system cannot continue and must do something about it.
Several hundred natives gathered peaceably to protest the pass laws. Police mounted on tanks opened fire. 69 natives were killed, 176 wounded. Most of the victims were shot in the back. Some of the dead were children, women, and elderly men.
Here were people just marching to the police station to hand over a passbook, and the police opened fire on them. For the first time, it showed the world how brutal the apartheid system could be.
The Prime Minister assured the country that law and order would be maintained. If necessary, the Defence Force would be called in.
The ANC had been declared illegal during the state of emergency. So Oliver Tambo was sent out of the country, and some of the other leaders followed. Mandela, it was decided, should stay in the country, and he carried on his work underground.
I went to see a 42-year-old African lawyer, Nelson Mandela, the most dynamic leader in South Africa today. The police were hunting for him at the time, but African nationalists had arranged for me to meet him at his hideout. He is still underground. This is Mandela's first television interview. I asked him what it was that the African really wanted.
The Africans require the franchise on the basis of one man, one vote. They want political independence.
Now, if Dr. Verwoerd's government doesn't give you the kind of concessions that you want sometime soon, is there any likelihood of violence?
There are many people who feel that it is useless and futile for us to continue talking peace and non-violence against a government whose reply is only savage attacks on an unarmed and defenseless people. And I think the time has come for us to
consider. I had made a statement where I called for armed struggle. Naturally, there was a great deal of resistance, but I believed that the government had left us with no other alternative.
At the end of 1961, the bombing campaign started. Its targets, power supplies, post offices, telephone booths and pass offices. Objects, not people. The aim was to shock the government into negotiating.
We were branded terrorists by the whole Western world. I mean, they'd have nothing to do with us. Well, as somebody has said, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
We used to sing a song. One stick, two sticks, six sticks of dynamite will take the country the Castro way. Now, remember, Castro's campaign was a very short campaign. Within a space of 2 years, they had overrun Cuba. So here we were, the comrades were all singing this song, as if to say in 6 months' time we'd be free. 6 months' time we were languishing in prison.
Mandela, he had addressed a meeting in Durban. He was coming back, and the police stopped them. And they asked him, what was his name? And he said, David. And they said, you're under arrest, Mr. Mandela.
We've been listening to Mandela, an audio history produced by Radio Diaries. We heard the voices of Nelson Mandela, Dulla Omar, Helen Suzman, Ahmed Kathrada, Ntoto Modlana, Lungi Sisulu, Mac Maharaj, and Amina Kachalia. You'll find more information about Mandela's life and legacy and the people you heard in this story at mandelahistory.org.